God's good. Man, He's good. They had a couple more songs, but God said no. God said no. You know what's amazing? And I'm just going to make this. This has absolutely nothing to do with the sermon I'm preaching, but it has everything to do with who we are. I would say to you that probably 80 or 85% of the people that get saved in this church, they get saved before I ever preach. I'm not sure what that says about me. Quit laughing, Michael. We have had 16 new births. 16 since the first of the year. That's amen. 16 since the first of the year. We're into February. Amen, brother. And I don't know if any of those have come after I preached, but praise God for His faithfulness. I'm going to set that right there for the moment. Last week, I began a series of messages that I titled Financial Faithfulness. And this morning, we're going to take a look at part two of this series. And I want to talk with you about some of the biblical guidelines that God has given to us for saving money. But before we get into the message for this morning, I want to go back for just a minute, and I want to remind you of some of the responsibilities that God has given to us about saving and spending and earning. Last week, I shared some of those with you, and I said to you last week that the first responsibility that we have when it comes to dollars and cents, when it comes to money, is we have a responsibility to work. Plain and simple. That is God's primary way or His means of supporting us. It's through our work. We also have a responsibility to plan what we're going to do with what God supplies for us. We have a responsibility to be disciplined in carrying out the plan that God has given to us for using what He has given to us. And we have a responsibility to be a good steward, which primarily means to acknowledge that everything, guys, belongs to God. It's not ours. It all belongs to God. Now, if you missed the first part of this series, then you can go on the website and you can pull it up on the website and watch it in its entirety, or you can pick up a DVD out front. This series is going to be about, I think it's around 6 weeks long, and it deals simply with financial faithfulness, some of the things that we go through. Guys, we're in a time of our life and where the economy is and jobs and everything, the way things are right now. If there's anything that we can talk about that should hopefully help everybody, it's financial faithfulness. Right now, especially right now. When it comes to saving money, I want you to know that God is favorable toward that. God wants us to put money back. He wants us to save money. And He's very favorable of us doing so. Listen to me. Unless our saving habits begin to compromise the Christian principles and the Christian values that He has instilled within us. I say that to you because there are people that will tell you that saving money is not biblical. They will say to you that it shows a lack of faith and that God Himself is supposed to be the one that supplies everything you need exactly when you need it, and therefore if you start stockpiling money, it basically shows a lack of faith. And I want you to know that I do not stand in agreement with that doctrine at all. I do not believe that is true. I believe God gave every one of us enough sense to get in and out of the rain. Amen. And I believe God gave every one of us enough sense to know that we are to put something back for those days that might be a little difficult ahead of us. I believe that. God's Word says in Proverbs 21:20, He says, "In the house of the wise are stores." Look at that. of choice food and oil. He said, but the foolish man devours or spends all that he has. The foolish man. He says in Proverbs 6, he says, go to the ant, you sluggard, and consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. These are only a couple of the verses that God's word gives us about putting a little something back. Paul said to us in 2 Corinthians 12, look at this. He said, children should not have to save up for their parents. He said, but parents for their children. Solomon said in Proverbs 13, he said, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. I believe God gave us a mandate. I believe God gave us a command that we are to take care of the ones that we love and that we are to put a little something back if we can. And I believe that right here in God's Word, He will teach you how to do that. Biblically, if it's within your means, God will teach you how to make that happen. So this morning, I want to take a look at some of those biblical guidelines that God has put in place for us when it comes to saving or managing, listen to me, what He has entrusted to us. Before we go there, I want you to pray with me. Bow your head with me. Father, I just come to you in the name of Jesus this morning. And Lord, I ask that you would bless this time together, bless this message. Father, if there's ever been a time, Lord, where we need this, God, it's now. So Lord, I ask that you would use this, Lord, to strengthen us, to help us, Father God, to move forward and to understand what we are supposed to do with what you have entrusted to us. Father, use this message in a way, Lord, that it will touch someone's heart this morning. I thank you, Lord, for the salvation that has come into this house already this morning. And I give praise to the name of Jesus, for you alone are worthy. And it's in your name, Lord, that I lift up all of these things. Amen and amen. First of all, God's Word says if you're going to save money, if you're going to put something back for those rainy days that we all have ahead of us, He says, first of all, that the first priority that we have is to maintain a proper view of ownership. Maintain a proper view. What does that mean? Listen to me. It means everything that you have belongs to God. And that it is not yours. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how hard you've worked to get it. It doesn't matter if someone has left it to you. Everything that you have belongs to God. He said in Haggai 2:8, He said, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord. He also went on in 1 Corinthians 10:26, and Paul said, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. God wants us to know, listen to me, that everything that we have belongs to Him. Everything. Now, why is it so important that we understand this? Because many times when we start saving money and we begin to see money accumulating, we have a tendency to lose sight of the fact that it is not ours. Many, many times. I mean, let me tell you something. Wealth will ruin people. It will destroy people's lives if they don't have the proper perspective of who it belongs to. Do you know that as a rule, the majority of the people who go out here and hit these million-dollar, multi-million-dollar lotteries, do you know they're broken in bankruptcy within 5 years? Do you know why? Because they've lost sight of who it belongs to. They lose sight that it belongs to God, and it does not belong to them. It's important that we understand that it belongs to God. You see, when money begins to grow in our accounts and things begin to happen, we begin to get excited and we begin to want to take ownership of it. It's just the human nature. And many times we do that for not the right reasons. Let me share something with you. It doesn't matter how much money you have, how much you've stored up, or how much you will have or store up. It doesn't belong to you. Guy died and he looked at his wife and he said, Honey, all I want you to promise me is that you'll bury me with what I've got. With all that I've worked for, everything I've saved, I just want you to, I need you to promise me that you'll bury me with it. She said, I promise. He died. She's up sporting a new Lincoln. New furniture. New diamond ring. Friend asked her, he said, I thought you was going to bury him with that. She said, I did. I wrote him a check. You can't take it with you. God ain't going to let you take it with you. God has given us the privilege of managing what He gives to us, not owning it. Listen to me. And if we lose sight of that truth, that everything in the earth belongs to God, if we lose sight of this truth, that we are only managers of it, God will not allow you to prosper until you regain that truth. He said to us in Luke, look at His word, chapter 16. He said, whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much. He said, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. He said, if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, namely God's, who will give you property of your own? When it comes to saving money, listen to me, it has to work like this. God has to be able to trust you to do whatever He tells you to do with what He has given you. And you have to be able to trust God that He will lead you to doing what He wants you to do with what He has given you. I read a story that I want to read to you, just real short. Thought it was really applicable here. He said, one day my son Zach and I were out in the country climbing around on some rocks. I heard a voice from above me yelling, hey, Dad, catch me. I turned around and Zach had jumped off a rock straight at me. He jumped and then yelled. I became an instant circus act. Turning and catching him, we both fell to the ground, and for a moment after I caught him, I couldn't even talk. When I found my voice again, I said, Zach, why did you do that? Can you tell me one good reason why you did that? And he said with a remarkable calmness, because you're my dad. Because you're my dad. Zach's whole assurance was based on the fact that his father was trustworthy and therefore could live life to the full because he trusted him. And then he closed that with the question, isn't this even more true for a Christian? Isn't it? Isn't this even more true for a Christian? If we want God to bless us, help us to save up money and put things back for those rainy days that are ahead of us, God's Word says we have to gain a proper understanding of ownership. God also said that in addition to this, that we need to maintain a proper view of our security. Our security. The reason that this is so important is because when we begin to accumulate wealth in our life, many times our security will shift. And we will begin to put our trust in what we have. We will begin to look at our savings accounts and our checking accounts and our IRAs and our money market funds. And we will begin to put our trust in what we have accumulated. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 6, and he said, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly blesses us with everything for our enjoyment. There's a song that we sing. The lyrics say, My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You know the song? I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Help me out here. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Come on. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. You see, money cannot buy you eternal security. Money cannot save your soul. It cannot get you a ticket into heaven. The only real security that you have is in Jesus Christ alone. For there is no other name under heaven given to man by which you can be saved. That's it. We have to maintain a proper view of our security. Listen to me. If you don't, it can cost you everything. Another guideline that God has given to us is He says that when we make investment decisions, we are to make them prayerfully and within God's will. When we invest what God has given to us, we need to talk to God. You know what the number one excuse is that we use for not doing this? We say we don't know what He wants. We say we don't understand exactly what He wants for us to do. And you know what God says? He said in Jeremiah 33:3, look at this. He said, you call to me. And He said, and I will answer you. And I will tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. He said in Jeremiah 29:13, He said, and if you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. You see, God wants you to talk to Him about everything. He wants you to talk to Him about what He has entrusted to your care. Listen to me, gentlemen. He wants you to talk to Him about your family. He wants you to talk to Him about your wife. Ladies, He wants you to talk to Him about your husband and the man that He has put into your life to take care of you for the rest of your life. God wants us to talk to Him about our children. He wants us to talk to Him about our jobs, about our home, about the car that don't run. God wants us to talk to Him about everything. Everything in our life. And He says, if you will call to Him, He will tell you great and unsearchable things that we do not know. Let me tell you something. Whatever God gives you is God's. So when we start investing God's money, God wants to know where we're going to put it. And He wants us to talk to Him about it. So many times, guys, so many times, we come up on something that we feel like is so good that if I don't just do it right now, I'm going to miss it. It's going to pass me by. And so we talk to God and we say, God, listen to me. If you don't tell me no, I'm going to get it. And I mean like right now. And then I'm going to go on believing that you said it's okay because you didn't tell me no. And we end up getting something that we later look back and say, God, why did I do that? Why did I do that? God has made it very clear that we are to avoid those financial situations that forces us to get it right now. He said to us in Proverbs 21:5, look at this. He said, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. He also says that we're to stay away from those get-rich-quick schemes. Y'all know what I'm talking about. How many of you ever get that internet email where somebody has left you $500 million and all you got to do is send them your bank account number so they can put it in the bank? Do you know there are people that do that? They're greedy, man. There are these people that get these internet. They open these things up. It says, your long lost uncle from your second cousin's wife who lives over in England someplace moved to Africa. He was there for 6 years, and then he went to Indonesia, and that's where he left you all of this money. And all we need is your bank account to get it. So send us your number that we can make a direct deposit. God says, avoid those things. Look at what he said in Proverbs 28. 28:20 says, a faithful man will be richly blessed. Look at that. Look what he said. A faithful man, a faithful woman, a faithful family will be richly blessed. He said, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished. Send them your bank account. If you don't believe that's the truth, next time you get one of them pop-ups, just hit reply and put your bank account number on it. God's Word says in 1 Timothy 6, people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. God is saying, man, don't be so quick to spend what He has entrusted to you. Ask Him first, not after the fact. And wait for Him to answer you. Wait for Him to answer you before you go forth and do what you want to do. We are investing God's money. Invest it wisely. Invest it wisely. He also says, don't use money that He wants you to use for other things. Don't save it. Don't put money back that God wants you to use for other things. Listen to me. This is called coveting. We're talking about saving here. And this is called coveting. And it means to desire something that does not belong to you. It means to want something that isn't yours. And I promise you, it will make you miserable in your soul. It will make you miserable, and it has the potential to lead you away from where God wants you to be. God spoke to us through Luke chapter 12, and here's what He said. This is Jesus talking, and He told them this parable. He said, the ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. And then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Man, why didn't he just give it to the hungry? Why didn't he just give it to the hungry? He said, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And he said, and there I will store up all my grain and my goods, and I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. You fool. Let me ad lib. You fool. You have saved things that I want you to use for other reasons. You fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? And he said, and this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God. He spoke through John in 1 John 3, and he said, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? He said, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. You see, God gives us what He wants us to have, and then He will lead us to use it the way He wants us to use it. And God, listen to me, God expects us to use what He gives us for His glory, not to covet it, not to store it and hoard it and hide it when He has other plans for it. And God will tell you when those plans come in place. Don't allow yourself to get caught up, guys, in using what God has given to you for another purpose. I told this once or twice. I'm going to share it again. It's been a while back. I was out in Phoenix one year, back when I was a youth pastor. And I remember, I'll never forget this happening, but I remember going into the youth convention. And as I was going in, all the kids were already in there. I'd gone back to the hotel to get something. And there was a homeless guy. And he met me in that foyer area out there in front of the hotel. And he said, mister, would you buy me something to eat? And I said, no. I mean, I just blatantly, I was in a dead walk, headed back to get to the kids, and I said, no, you don't want to eat. I said, you're wanting to get drunk, and I'm not supporting it. And I just kept on walking, and God went. He did. He grabbed me by the back of my shirt and pulled me right back. And he said, the man asked you for something to eat. The man was probably 20 yards, 30 yards, something like that away from me. And I hollered at him. Hey! Hey! He turned around and I said, come here. I said, do you really want something to eat or you want to get drunk? He said, mister, I didn't ask you for money. He said, I asked you to buy me something to eat. And it was like, would you pull that out? So I gave him money. And then I stood in the corner and watched him. And he headed straight over to the Burger King and went in and got him something to eat. I could have allowed that to pass me by. But God makes it very clear that He will give you money, listen to me, and it may be your last $5. It may be your last $5. But God will give you money. He will put things in your pocket that He wants you to use for somebody else. And sometimes He will allow it to be your last $5 to see just exactly where your heart is and how obedient you're willing to be. Because the most difficult thing in the world to give to somebody else is your last $5 when your gas gauge is over on the Big E. That's one of the most difficult challenges that we have, is to trust in God. But God will challenge you. And God will put things in your pocket, and you won't understand that. But let me tell you something. God doesn't want you putting back money that He has given to you for another purpose, for another reason. Because someone out there needs it. And if we keep it for ourselves, somebody goes without, and somebody misses a blessing. The last guideline that I want to share with you is by far the most important. In addition to all of these other things, when you're saving money or putting money back, guys, always remember to make the kingdom of God your number one investment. Always. Over and above your money, over and above everything that you have or have accumulated, always make the kingdom of God your number one investment. Jesus said in Matthew, He said, do not worry. Do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? He said, for the pagans run after, the pagans, look what He said, the pagans run after all of these things. He said, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. You check Him out. You get after Him, and He'll make sure that these things are supplied for you. He also went on to say in Luke chapter 9, He said, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? Let me sum this up for you. Look up here. Do you really believe in your heart that God will bless you with wealth? Do you believe that He will do that if He knows that you're going to use it for something selfish? Do you think God will do that? We can pray and say, oh God! And if God knows in our heart that if He supplies, we're going to use it for something selfish, do you think God's going to give it to you? He says that we are to make the kingdom of God our number one investment. God will not supply those kinds of needs. He's made it very clear that He will not supply them. But He says, if we will seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, He said, I will supply not only everything that you need, I will put shoes on your feet, I'll make sure there's not a winter that goes by that your children don't have something to eat and a coat on their back. They may not have steak on the table, but I promise you they'll be full. They won't be hungry. He says, if you will seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, He said, everything that you need will be laid before you. And He says that if He wants you to have a savings account, He'll be that savings account. He'll add to it as He sees fit. If we will seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. But in order to do that, we can't get caught up in what the world says, because if we do, as Jesus said, what good is it to gain the whole world and cost you everything? Let me bring all of this to a close for you. If you take a look at the financial condition of everything in your life, seriously, guys, and I'm not just getting real serious with you here just for a minute. I'm not asking you for money. This is not about the church. Nothing. This is about financial faithfulness. This is about helping you get past where you are so that God can bless you. And my question to you is this. If you take a good, solid look, an honest look, a truthful look at your home and where you are financially, answer these questions. Is God providing for you the way He said He would? Seriously. Or do you struggle every single day? Is God taking care of you? Or do you struggle? When you take a look at those conditions, let me say this to you first. If you can truly say, yes, God takes care of me every single day, then you need to thank Him and praise His holy name. But if you can honestly say, no, you know, it could be a whole lot better, God, because You're taking me right to the edge here, man, and then I would have to ask you this. Have you made the kingdom of God and His righteousness your number one investment? Seriously. Where's your priorities? Are they with seeing how much money we can save? Is it your house? How about your car? Where are your priorities? You know, God hasn't provided for me, but where are your priorities? Are you making Him and the kingdom of God your number one priority? Is He your number one investment? Let me ask you something else. Are you using what He has given you for godly things or ungodly things? Do you use what God has given to you to bless Him and to raise up the kingdom of God and a new generation of leaders out here? Or are you feeding habits? Whew. Come on. Oh God! I need it! No, you don't. No, you don't. You need the kingdom of God and righteousness. God says if we have all that, we don't have habits. Not really. He says He has the ability to break those things. Let me ask you another question. Do you invest what He has given to you trying to get rich? How much do you spend on lottery tickets? Seriously. God's Word makes it real clear that those who try to get rich quick will find their way to devastation. Where's your security? Do you really understand that everything belongs to God? Or have you taken ownership? You guys stand up. We're getting ready to close. I want to say something to you before we do. God wants you to have everything. He wants you to have everything. He wants you to have a savings account. He wants you to have food on your table and shoes on your feet. Do you really think, guys, look up here. Come on, look up here. Do you really think God wants you to go to bed at night worrying about how you're going to make ends meet? Is that the kind of blessing that God wants us to have? To wake up in the morning and thinking, oh God, it's another day. How am I going to meet these ends? How am I going to make this happen? Do you really think that's what God has in store for His children? That's not what God wants for you, man. God wants to bless you. God wants to give to you. God wants you to have these things. But in order for you to receive all that He has in store for you, you have a part to do. There are guidelines that He expects us to follow. And my question is simply this. Are you following? Jake's going to sing a chorus of a song. I don't know what your needs are. And you know, if you need to straighten something out with God, man, get away from the chair. This ain't about nobody here but you and God. And if you really need God to help you get some things straightened out in your life, to instill some things within you and help you get on the right track, just bend a knee before Him and say, hey, God, I need you. And God will do the rest. He'll do the rest. Pray with me. Father, I pray Your blessing, Lord, upon every person here. And Lord, if there's someone here this morning that has not made the kingdom of God first, if it's not their first priority, Lord, convict their heart right now in the name of Jesus. If there's someone here, Lord, that is using what You have given to them, Lord, for something other than what Your purpose is, convict their heart right now, Lord. If there's someone here, Lord, that You just need to talk to about the way that they're doing with their finances and the things that You've supplied, Lord, convict their heart. Bring them up front. Just convict their heart. So that, Father God, we might walk out of here fresh and anew. And it's in Jesus' name that I ask.